that too.
Preach in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here, and also echo what Dayton said. Darlene and I really enjoyed that time with the other ministers and hearing about their lives and just getting to know them better. And it was an encouragement to us to be there. I feel a little bit distracted in my mind this morning about what I was going to speak about. And I feel a little bit ill-prepared, too, in some ways, although I do have some things I want to say. You know, the thing I've been thinking about lately is commitment and what it means to be committed and how that the world needs people that are committed Christians. So many today their commitment is weak, and they fall away. And, you know, what an example and a witness it is to the world to see someone committed to Christ, no matter what they face. And so I'd like to speak about commitment this morning and maybe look at an examples in the Bible of people who are committed and maybe see how we can improve our commitment and make it more real to us. When there's a lack of commitment, we see the problems that come from that. And you know, around us today, we see the people that go through divorce, the number, the percentage of people that go through divorce, and you know, a lot of it comes down to a lack of commitment in those people's lives. They're not committed to making their marriage work. And you have a lack of commitment to someone, to a relationship, it's going to ruin that relationship. When I was reading a little bit about this in regards to marriage, and one of the people that is a marriage counselor said that, you know, he's just amazed at how many people build their marriages on the sand of feelings instead of the rock of commitment. And, you know, we talked about feelings a little bit this morning in Sunday school, and feelings are a good thing, but it's not something to build your faith on or something to build your marriage on. And then in another sense, looking at an employee, if a company wants to hire someone, they're looking for somebody who's committed. Are they going to be satisfied with somebody who doesn't show up for work regularly, who doesn't really care about what happens on the job, whether he does a good job or not, who wants to always be on vacation? No, they want somebody who's committed to their work, somebody who is working to make the company successful and who does their best to put their heart and mind into what they're doing. Commitment is a promise to do or give something. It's a promise to be loyal to someone or something. And it's an attitude of someone who works very hard to do or support something. It's a big task to be committed, I think. And this morning I'd like to ask you, how committed are you to your relationship with Jesus? And, you know, this can go into other areas of your life, but primarily I'd like to talk about your relationship with Christ today and how committed are you. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 13 and read a little bit here, the parable of the sower, we all know, and just take a little bit out of here that we can look at in our lives. So starting at verse 1, I'm going to read down to 9, and then I'm going to skip down further on in the chapter 2. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, I'm going to skip down to verse 18, where Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the seed that I had to focus in on here, and would like to focus in on here, is the seed in the stony places. And it talks about how there was no deepness of earth there. And when something came up, this plant just withered away. There's no deepness of soil to grow the plant, to grow the Word of God. We need to have a deepness that allows the Word of God and to go deep into our hearts, to grow there and to become more strong, to be a plant that grows higher and higher. And, you know, there are some things about you that you cannot change. You can't change who your parents are. You can't change when you were born or where you were born and things like that. But you can change how committed you are. You can change that characteristic about yourself. It's not a characteristic that's unchangeable. And I think commitment is a discipline, and it carries over into other areas of your life as well. You might be naturally inclined to be committed, but I think most people aren't. But regardless of whether you are or not, you can cultivate this characteristic in your life, whether it's your job, your family, your marriage, but most importantly, your relationship with the Lord. You can cultivate a characteristic of commitment. You know, here's a little fable I read. It says a pig and a chicken are walking down the road, and the chicken says to the pig, "Hey, pig, I was thinking we should open a restaurant." And the pig says, "Maybe. What should we call it?" And the chicken says, "How about ham and eggs?" And the pig thinks for a moment and says, "No, thanks. I'd be committed, but you'd only be involved." So it brings out a good point. Are you involved in the Christian life, or are you committed to Christ? In the one sense, you know, you're doing things, but you're not really committing all of yourself to the Lord. You could look at a couple different levels of commitment. You could say, sure, I'm committed. By the way, did you see that new truck that Ford's coming out with? I really want one of those. You could say, I'm committed, but what about those people over there? They are getting by with doing that, and I think I should too. Or you could say, I'm committed, but look at what he did to me. I just can't forgive him. I just can't accept the way he's treating me. Or you can say, like Job did, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job was committed to the Lord. Whether God decided that it was time to end his life now, he was still committed. There are some things that stand in the way of our commitment to Christ, and these things can stop us from really being fully committed to the Lord. And I just wrote down a couple things that I think we all can identify with to a certain extent. The first one that came to me, and this one maybe doesn't apply to you, but there is a chance that you don't know what you're committing to. You know, the Christian life is not something we should commit to lightly. We should realize what is required of us. There's a high requirement. Commitment involves all of you. It involves your mind, your body, your soul. You're giving that all to Christ. You can't hold back part of it. You know, if we're holding back part of it, we're just involved. We're not committed. Another thing is we can be committed, but maybe we're already committed to something else. Hopefully nobody here is in this category. But we should check ourselves. We can have little areas of our lives that we have committed to something else. And, you know, we can be committed to a fight or an argument with somebody, it's a small thing, but that's going to get in the way of our commitment to Christ if we allow that to become our commitment is to solve that to antagonize or to keep this fight going because we disagree with someone. We can be afraid of what God's going to ask us to do, and I think maybe this is one that we can more identify with. You know, the fear of what God can ask us to do or will ask us to do can be a thing to hold us back. It can keep us from really wanting to commit everything to Him. But we have to ask ourselves the question, does God really care and does He really know what's best for me? And the only answer we can come up with is yes, He does. He does truly care. He does truly know what is best for us. And when we consider that, we have to ask, too, what is the worst, which is the greater evil? To have the cost of not serving God today, or the cost of serving God today, is that the greater evil, or is it the greater evil, the cost of not serving God for eternity? You know, the rich young ruler, he weighed those two costs, and to him, it was a greater evil to give up his riches and commit everything to the Lord than it was to give it to the Lord and, you know, have to deal with getting rid of the thing that he really liked. But in the end, he was wrong. In the end, the cost of not committing to the Lord is far greater than the cost of committing ourselves now. And the joys and fulfillments of committing to the Lord are something else entirely we could talk about as well. Another one that can get in our way is we're just afraid to look crazy or stupid. And, you know, this can happen. Sometimes our friends are going to think we're strange. And, well, maybe we should find new friends, too. But don't be afraid to be an outcast in the world today because you're in good company. There's many people throughout history that have been despised and rejected by the world for their commitment to God, to Jesus. And they have won a great battle. They have won a great victory in the end. Jesus himself, you know, was despised and rejected. And I have to think of that song that says, "I'll be a fool for you, Jesus." We need to be willing to look a little strange, a little off, a little weird to the world. I'd like to read a little bit of a testimony of what Paul said about his commitment. We'll just take a little bit of his words and look at how he was committed to serving the Lord. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. So, reading down from the first verse here, we read this in Sunday school a while back, and it really stood out to me. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to grace, may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our out, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here you see Paul speaking about who he was and his work. And I'd like to notice a few things that he said here. You know, the thing that stood out to me initially was that he mentioned all the things that happened to him that were bad, in a sense. And yet, every time they happened, he turned them around and said, you know, all these things have happened, but they haven't discouraged us. They haven't broken us. They haven't destroyed us. Paul was committed enough here to watch his body deteriorate. He said, you know, he's perishing. But he saw the inward man himself being renewed, becoming newer, becoming more like Christ through it. And he was willing to let that happen. So what made Paul's commitment so strong? One thing is that he kept his sight on the goal. A very simple thing. But he knew who he was committed to, and he kept his sight there. You know, we look at Paul now and we say, if we'd ask ourselves, what defined Paul's life? And we would probably all come up with something similar. You know, he was a preacher. He traveled the world as an evangelist. He wrote the Gospels. We'd say that's who Paul was. He was that person. He had a sight on the goal of tomorrow, and that's what had him. That's what drove him to do the things that he did today. That should be true for us too. When we leave this earth, and somebody would ask, well, what was the thing that defined that person's life? What defined his life? What defined your life? What would they say? Would they say, well, you know, he just wanted to have fun, or he wanted to help somebody, or he wanted to get ahead in life. His goal was success in business or whatever. You know, the goals that we have today, the future goals, the things that we look out there and see and say, I want that, that's what causes us to act on what we're doing today. And Paul, he saw that goal, and that's what made him do those. You know, sometimes it was a small step towards the next town, but that was a step he took, and he followed through on those goals. The other thing that I see about Paul is that even though we see him as this great man who did these things, he looked at it as him being used for the Lord, and he did what he could, but yet the work was God's, and he admitted that. He said that was the other thing that he believed. He says here in this passage, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And, you know, earthen vessels, that's a very fragile thing. Paul saw himself as just a simple, fragile human being, but he was willing to be used by God, and he let God work through him, and he recognized that the work that he was doing, the success or the failure, that was up to the Lord to decide. He just was to be faithful. And he didn't hold back. He committed everything, in spite of the fact that sometimes people rejected him. The third thing I noticed is that he viewed his affliction as light. And reading back through those descriptions of what happened to him, I wouldn't call it light. If those things happened to me, I certainly wouldn't be calling them light. You know, beaten, stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked, hated, all those things. He said, you know, in essence, he was saying, you know, it's just a scratch. He was saying that those things don't come up to a great weight of problem compared to the eternity that's waiting me. He looked at him and said, heaven is much, much greater, and it's something that I'm willing to accept this for. One of my pages here. Okay. So I'd like to look now at leaving Paul there, looking at his example to us, and look at what are some of the things that we can do in light of what Paul says to make ourselves more committed. We can change the commitment level of our lives. We can be more committed. You know, I remember last Sunday Jeff talked just a little bit about he asked the question, what is your purpose in life? And he mentioned that we have this overriding purpose that covers everything that we do. And that's good. We need to have that purpose in our hearts, that goal that Paul had. You know, he kept his eye on that goal. And also, I think we need to make smaller goals for ourselves as well to help us reach that greater goal. You know, do other things. Paul, he had that goal in his mind, and that's what drove him to do the ministry that he did. He visited these churches, and he wrote them letters when he was gone. And we need to be able to make steps that draw us closer to the goal, the end goal. And also, let God work through you, knowing that, you know, that you're weak and you have weaknesses, but with God you can accomplish something that He wants you to accomplish. Keep in mind it's God's power that's working, and if it was up to us to attain these goals that we might have, we would be discouraged and disappointed many times. But with the help of Christ, we can attain many of these goals. Do your part. Let God do His work. He'll receive the glory, and that's how it should be. Another thing in commitment is, you hear stories of people who fall away, and it's very sad to hear people that have been Christians many years to leave the faith. And we all ask ourselves the question, why was it? Why did it happen? Why couldn't they hold on? Something hard came up, and they left. Somebody else discouraged them. They allowed themselves to become discouraged about something. And, you know, I think one thing we need to do is determine now where we're going to go when the troubling times come, when we have trials, and when things don't look good. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We need to turn to the Lord. We need to decide now. That's where we're going to go. We need to have that relationship now with Christ so that when those tough times come, we know where to go. We know where to get the answers. And we may not always know exactly why. You know, there's a story about Julius Caesar, and I don't know if this is true. I tried to find out if it was true. Maybe it's just a legend. But he wanted to show his men how committed he was to this certain battle. And what their goal was to conquer Britain. So they took their ships and they crossed over the channel or wherever they crossed over to Britain, and then he led his men up on top of a cliff and he showed them their ships burning down in the water. And they were shocked. There were all the boats that they had used to come across that sea burning. But his point was, you know, you can't go back anymore. You have to go forward. Now is the time to move forward. There is no turning back. And, you know, in a sense, we need to be able to burn our ships back, too. We need to look at our life in Christ and determine that I'm not going back anymore. I'm committed to this. And remember and realize that you won't always understand what's happening to you. You know, God works in mysterious ways. And I have many questions sometimes. We all do. But we don't commit to the Lord because He's going to tell us exactly what the answers are to all the things that we have questions about. We commit to Him because we know that He's the only option. He's the only sane choice in life. He's the one that knows us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that knows our past, our future. And if we trust Him, He will bring us through those times. He will uphold us during those times. And the last one, your feelings. You know, again, feelings can be helpful when we feel the Lord's presence close. But our relationship with Him should be rooted in truth and in the knowledge that, you know, He loved us, that He died for us, and that we're going to serve Him in response for what He did. And so we don't want to let our feelings rule our lives in that sense. I read this other little funny story about, you know, I'm always impressed at the commitment that you see in people that have been married for many years, and the commitment that it takes, and it's an encouragement to me to see that. This little story came, there was this couple, and they were married for 50 years, and at their little celebration, the man wanted to say something, and his wife was hard of hearing, and he said, well, after 50 years, he said to his wife, I found you to be tried and true. And she said, what? And he said it again louder. And so she said, well, let me tell you something. After 50 years of marriage, I'm tired of you too. But, you know, it's true that it takes a lot of commitment. And we need to recognize the need for commitment in our lives today. And in closing, I'd just like to say, you know, that again, that the world is looking for people that are committed to something. And there are people out there committed to the wrong things, the wrong ideas. But a person that's really truly committed to Christ and goes through their life and faces, you know, the many things that you will face, that's an amazing testimony. People that have lost, I have to think of the family in Washington that lost many of all their children in a car accident. And, you know, I'm sure they questioned and they wondered, but they didn't waver in their commitment to Christ. And that was a real testimony to many people. There's a song that says, I'd rather walk in the dark with Jesus than walk in the light of my own. And, you know, that's how our commitment should be to Christ as well. And that's all I have. Maybe I'll leave it open for a word or testimony.